This program is part of the Ulagal Radio Network. Ulagal Radio, going beyond the pew, proclaiming truth and encouraging the brethren.
Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jeremy Northrop, and this is The Christian Counselor. Every year I try to read through the Bible. I have a schedule where you can read through the Bible in a year. And in the last few days, my readings have brought me to the book of Job. Specifically, Job chapters 1 and 2 have always been a very notable chapter to me. As I noticed the events that transpire there and how Job responded to those events, there really are some powerful messages within those two chapters. You may remember that Satan and the sons of God had come into the heavenly court, and God himself actually says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." Job chapter 1 and verse 8. In the verses that followed, Satan himself accuses God and says, "Look, you built this hedge of protection around him. If you were to allow me to touch the things that he has and the things that he does, he would curse you to your face. You have protected him, which makes him blameless and upright." And so, in a sense of almost asking God for permission, God says, "You can do what you want with Job, but you cannot touch his person." And so it says that there was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger in verse 14 came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. They've killed the servants with the edge of the sword." And while that particular servant was speaking, or messenger, another came to him and said, "Fire fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them." And then in verse 17, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, killed the servants, and he alone escaped." And then, while he was still speaking, a fourth messenger comes and says, "His sons and daughters were eating and drinking, and a great wind came across and struck them, and all of them fell dead." So he lost much of his livestock, his servants, and his children. And it says that Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The last verse of chapter 1 is an interesting passage when it says, "In all of this Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong." And then chapter 2, the events transpire, and the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was there. And Satan said, "I was going to and fro on the earth." And again in verse 3, he says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incite me against him to destroy him without a cause." Satan says, "Yes, but Lord, you didn't let me touch him. If you will let me touch him, he will curse you to your face." Verse 5. And again, in a sense of almost asking for permission, God tells Job, or tells Satan, that he can touch Job. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils. And actually, he was able to take a piece of pottery and scrape his boils and himself in the midst of his ashes, probably ashes of mourning. The Bible says in chapter 2 at verse 7 of the book of Job that he had boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And it says that his own wife came to him and said, "Why do you hold your integrity? Curse God and die." But he, of course, rebukes his wife. And then in verse 11, three of Job's friends, their names are Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, came to him, and it says that they looked from afar off, and that Job's body was so disgruntled and so disfigured that they didn't even recognize him. And so they came, and they raised their eyes and did not see him. And when they came together and noticed who he was, they lifted their voices and wept, and each of them tore his robe, verse 12. And it says that the friends, Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, actually sat for 7 days and seven nights and did not say a word to Job. He looked so pitiful, so pathetic, that they were speechless. Likely, in the events that transpire in our lives today, we don't have situations that are quite that extreme. But isn't it true that oftentimes we find ourselves going to hospitals of people whose children are in the hospital or somebody who's dying of cancer, or we find these circumstances that are difficult to imagine, difficult to comprehend, and we are left with a question: what do I say to so-and-so? What do I say to the person who's losing their child to leukemia? What do I say to the person who's losing their mother to cancer? What do I say to the person who's had a severe accident and lost all of their family? Oftentimes, we don't know what to say. There's a tradition that says in the book of Job, his three friends came to him and actually sat for 7 days. That was a symbol of a death ritual. That, in other words, he almost looked as good as dead. I question the tradition, because I know this. I know that if you were covered in boils from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, I might be speechless as well. But his friends came. Perhaps the lesson that we learn here is that when we find ourselves in situations where we don't know what to say, maybe it's best not to say anything at all, but just simply sit in silence and let our presence speak for itself. I'm Jeremy Northrop, and this is The Christian Counselor.